Welcome to the Know Your Finance with Priyavas podcast. Welcome to another episode of Know Your Finance with Priyavas. Hi Paul, how's it going that side?
Hi Daddy, good in there.
No, it's all good. I'm completely baffled by all these things taking place. Load shedding, prices going up, VAT changes. I have to ask, from a financial standpoint, is there anything else happening? Is some other, and petrol going up as well? Is there anything else that's going to increase? You, of course, know firsthand.
Well, Davy, if I look at the next couple of months, I think we're going to feel it on our pockets. The load shedding is going to be in a bit of an issue. Especially with the industries, if they haven't planned in advance, they haven't sorted for their generators, then they also might be looking at spending some extra overtime. The fuel is definitely going to go up. I see the rand's taken a tremendous nosedive. We were expecting a 12 rand 20 beginning of last month, and now we're already on 13 rand 47. So that's definitely going to affect the fuel price as well, which obviously has an effect on the price of food. And taking that into consideration, after we already faced a 1% increase in VAT, I think we're in for tough times.
Don't you think it would be a great idea for companies to partner with companies like Checkers or Pick n Pay and Woolies and say, okay, if my 800 employees of this company buys a Checkers, will you get a 10% discount or something? Or is that just not possible?
Well, I've actually seen it being done by a couple of companies. The only problem being is that you need quite a large company, and you need to have that buying power behind you to be able to bargain with a Woolies and a Pick n Pay and perhaps a Virgin Active or any lifestyle supplier, which is nice, but where you're really going to see the struggles is with your smaller companies who doesn't have that buying power. And it's also normally the smaller companies that pay smaller salaries. So in effect, you're going to sit with the same employees who are earning less, who also now doesn't have the buying power to be able to negotiate these discounts. It's definitely not going to be the employers, I don't want to say their worries, it's not going to affect their bottom line. But at the end of the day, you need to keep your employees happy. They are your biggest asset at the end of the day. Small initiatives, perhaps like establishing a canteen in the office and subsidizing those meals. You don't necessarily need to go out and negotiate with third parties, but if you can establish a canteen, caterers come in and they normally are able to provide food at a much lower price, even if it's just lunch and perhaps some takeaways for dinner. I've seen that at previous companies, and it definitely works well.
Okay, and how about moving towards so buying power wise, the smaller companies obviously pay smaller salaries to people who have, let's say, just less money in the bank at the end of the day. If a client came to you, even though if they didn't, but let's say in theory, if a client came to you and said, hey, we have all the food and the rent and the school fees and everything is paid, we have, let's say, small. Let's say they have 1,500 rand to spend at the end of the month towards savings or investments or something. What would be the best plan of actions for people with small amounts of money to make it obviously grow somehow?
Well, the easiest would be, especially if it's only a small amount of money, is to go and look just at a normal savings account. You're not going to get that much growth, but you're looking at perhaps anything between a 4% and a 6%, which is still better than just having your cash lie around. And because you only have the small amount of money lying around and available to invest every month, you also want to keep that very flexible. You don't want to put your extra savings into a 24 or 36 months fixed deposit, because anything might happen. You might have a car breakdown, or you need to fit new tires, and that's at that point in time where you need this emergency fund and you need it available immediately.
So what you're saying is we should rather play it safe. A safe option is to open a savings account on your actual account already, and then that is basically just your emergency fund for when something happens, you have the money. Else, if it lies in your bank, you'll probably just end up using it.
That's correct, yes. It's you definitely need to separate this emergency fund from the rest of your salary. And if you're able to, you need to try and save up so that you've got an emergency fund big enough to subsidize you for for 6 months. You need to be able to cover 6 months of expenses with that money. Only once you've reached that level, you can start thinking of perhaps some fixed investments and more growth. But if it happens that you're sitting with the risk, and you have the company's downsized and you're retrenched, you need to be able to give yourself that confidence that you've got enough money to carry you for 6 months and give you that 6 months to be able to find a job that's going to fit you and your family very well.
Now, that all sounds perfect in theory, I agree, but thinking of it, let's say you earn 30 or 40K and you live. So I think that's the problem of, I'm quoting a Blink-182 lyric here, but I think that's the problem of our generation, where if you earn 30K, you live like you earn 30K. If you earn 60K, you live like you earn 60K.
Well, there's a lot of factors that that play a role here, and as you rightfully said, it is a mindset problem, but it's one that originates with how you were brought up, the friends that you keep, the environment that you live in. And at some point, you're going to have to sit back and decide what are your priorities. You obviously need to think, get away from a short-term thinking and look more into the long-term. Do you have children that you need to save up to go study one day? Are you looking towards your retirement? And once you start looking at that and you discover that you're not putting away enough money every month, that's when you go back and either you've got one of two things to do. You either need to increase your income, be it through a side job or just a commission income somewhere. And together with that, you need to look at your expenses. I think every one of us has that luxury that you feel you can't live without it. But in reality, once you go take a look back, there are several things that you can cut out from your monthly expenses.
Thinking about that conversation that's eventually going to happen with your boss when he asks you, hey, for instance, Paul, I see you have a side hustle. It's not affecting your work, but this could be a problem. How do you think, as a guy who's done it, how do you balance or strategize that side hustle? Should you do it in your own industry? Should you specifically not? What do you think is the best way to go forward?
Well, I think the first thing is to go and have a look at your employment contract and see whether your employer does have an issue with you having a job on the side, or if it just requires that you notify him or perhaps just ask for permission. Then on the other hand, obviously you would like to move into the same industry because that is where your expertise and your experience lies. But taking that into account, if you're going to try and run this past your employer, then they're going to be looking at a couple of things. That your side hustle doesn't interfere with your day-to-day job. You're not using your 8 to 5 hours to work on your side hustle. And also that you're not going to potentially be a competitor to your own employer. And that's when things might go pear-shaped. So perhaps look at something that you've got an interest in and perhaps not something that you're currently finding yourself in the industry that you're employed in.
Yes, a lot of people talk about intrapreneurship, not entrepreneur. It starts with intra, intrapreneurship, where you go to your boss and say, hey, I have this idea that could be used for a side hustle, but I'd like to keep it in-house. What do you think about this revolutionary idea of changing the finance industry, for instance? Do you think that's because I've seen that happen overseas. Do you think that's a viable thing for here in South Africa?
I definitely think so. And it all depends on what type of culture you have within your company. And also perhaps what type of manager you're working for. Obviously, if you're working for a manager that likes to take all the shine and have all the shine for himself, then he might just be stealing your idea. And even though you've got these revolutionary ideas, it's not going to go into your bank account. I know a lot of companies, like for instance, a Discovery. Discovery and perhaps even an F&B, they like to be as innovative as possible. So if you can come up with a good idea, I'm pretty sure that at the end of the day, you're going to be the one that's going to be rewarded.
Yes, no, that's a good point. I'm just thinking that most people are scared that they would rather almost let an idea just lie dormant in a closet than have it the potential to be stolen by a boss.
Yeah, that might be. And in that case, you need to back yourself. If you feel this is an idea that you could use and work towards your future and perhaps gain something for yourself, go it alone. Do it in your side hustle. If you've got the chance and perhaps you've got the backing and you're able to quit your job and focus on this 100%, then even better. Once you start backing yourself and you start following these ideas, you'll see the first one mightn't work, the second one might not work, but every time you try a new idea, it starts getting easier. You start building up confidence and you start backing yourself. And at the end of the day, you're going to strike gold somewhere.
Let's say somebody wanted to start a side hustle. Would it be easiest to contact you and say, hey, Paul, we want to start a company selling fat to overseas? And then you could obviously help with all those registrations and blah, 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 all the services. Or how does it work?
We provide free consultation sessions, be it in person or via Skype. They can just run the idea past us. They're not sure about how to run a business. Because a lot of people's businesses go under because they're not sure how to run a business. They've got brilliant ideas, but if you ask them anything about tax or cash flow, then that's where things go wrong. And cash flow, obviously, cash is king. If you don't have the cash flow, then your business isn't going to last very long. You can only put in so much of your personal funds into a business before you run out. So, yeah, any questions, anything, we can have a sit down, a nice coffee, just run it past us, and we're able to provide advice. That's why we're here. Business advisory, anytime that you need.
And you guys promise not to be too mean if the idea is really, really bad.
No, we're not here to break people's confidence. Obviously, we love to see people chasing their dreams. And that's what we want to help them do. We can give them a tip here and there, give them some advice. And then normally there's no such thing as a completely wrong idea. It's something that just needs to be tweaked here and there, and that's where we come in.
Paul, just do me a huge favor. Just leave your details quickly if people want to contact you for this reason, of course.
That's contact@Priavis, PRIAVIS.co.za, or visit our Facebook page. Everybody's got Facebook. Just send us a message there and we'll reply as soon as we can.
Okay, Paul, that sounds perfect. Thank you so much for this podcast and all the, obviously, all the business insights and the jokes and the great space, of course. I really, really appreciate it.
It's just a pleasure, Davi. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for listening. That's another episode of Know Your Finance with Priavis. Thank you.